So that's the question that we're here to ask today. Who is Jesus? How wonderful it is to take this time as we head towards Easter just to really focus on Jesus, the reason why we're here. My name is Tim, Pastor Tim, if you want. I'm a pastor here at Mount Joy Mennonite Church. And I'd like to also say that was my daughter leading worship this morning, Emma. She doesn't go here regularly, but thank you. And thanks to the rest of the worship team for putting up with me as we tried to put something together in Camden's absence. He went to Indiana to visit his family and friends this weekend. So anyway, here we are. How do we describe Jesus? How does Jesus appear to you is the question. Picture Jesus in front of you right now. What does he look like? Does he look like the Chosen series? What's his name, the actor? Does he come to you as a shepherd? Do you know him as Lord, as Savior, as the only begotten Son, the Messiah? He often called himself the Son of Man, the Light of the World, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, which means God is with us, gentle shepherd, friend. These are the many ways that we think about Jesus. And today, though, we're going to focus on one aspect, which we're going to read about in the Gospel of Mark. And in this series, each week we're going to have a different passage from Mark that describes a different perspective of how we view Jesus. So Mark chapter 1 is on verse 812 in the Pew Bibles, which are right there in front of you, if you'd like to turn there with me. We're going to start in verse 21. So this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Probably at this time, he might have had maybe four disciples with him. We don't know for sure. He's called a few of them, and they've come to Capernaum, which is a place that Jesus kind of made his base of his ministry. And this is the first recorded time that it says he went into the synagogue and began to teach. So picture this, people all around, and Jesus gets up to teach. Mark chapter 1. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man of the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. And the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we pray you'd open your word to us. Help us, Lord, to see you in new ways. Lord, you are infinite beyond anything we can imagine. And Lord, we just don't have enough of you. We want more and more. We pray today, reveal yourself to us, Lord God, in your authority, in your holiness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's interesting to note that in the Gospels, this is the first instance of a deliverance taking place. It's interesting, Jesus didn't give an altar call. Nothing happened except he was preaching and teaching, and an impure spirit cried out through someone who was there. Something we don't understand very well. In the Gospel of Luke, the same passage is described like this. Says he cried out at the top of his voice. So it was quite a disruption. I imagine it was kind of a quiet place. And then all of a sudden, this man cries out. And what he says is, "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." So this is what I want us to consider this morning. When we contemplate Jesus as the Holy One of God, do we tremble? If you could bring up that slide, please. Jesus as the Holy One of God. Do we recognize Jesus in his holiness? Now, first of all, this is a clear reference to Jesus as God. And I want to make it clear, when the demon cried out and said, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God," Jesus didn't say, "No, I'm not." He just said, "Be quiet and come out of him." We read in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 43, it says, here's what it says, God saying about himself, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." So here in this perspective, the people of Israel who knew the teachings of Isaiah, immediately when he said the Holy One of God, it was a proclamation, and the writers also of the New Testament, Mark, saying, this is God himself. Now some say that Jesus never said that he's the Son of God. And this is simply untrue. When I was in college or university, I heard that many times. People said, oh, Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. That's absolutely false. First of all, he never denied it. Time and time again, people came to him and said, when Jesus would ask him, who are you? Who do people say that I am? And he said, you are the Messiah, the Holy One of God. Peter, in John 6, said, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. And again, Peter did not deny it. There's also the place in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. So Jesus in that way confirmed what Peter just said. He is the Messiah and the Son of the living God. And then it's very interesting, when Jesus was brought before Pilate at the end of the Gospel of Mark in chapter 14, or actually it's before the high priest, the high priest asked him, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. I hope that we can hear this voice inside of us all. Is Jesus the Messiah? And you can say to him, Lord Jesus, are you the Son of God? And hear that resonating voice inside that says, I am. Jesus, then, he's Almighty God. He's the Son of God. He's the promised Messiah that all of creation since the beginning of time was looking forward to him. And now we are all looking back to that moment when Jesus came into this world, when he was born in a manger, born to a woman. He taught. He lived as one of us. He was like us, and he went to the cross. He died, and he was resurrected from the dead, and he lives today for us. It says in the scriptures then that God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and in heaven, on an earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So this is our second point, that Jesus is the ultimate authority. There is no other authority in this universe except for Jesus Christ, who was sent, who is God himself. It says in verse 21 that in our passage, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Then in verse 27, it says, the people were also amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him. Do we know Jesus as the Holy One of God? Do we know his authority? That he reigns over everything. If there's an issue in your life, Jesus is the authority that sets you free. If there's something going on in our world, we pray for the authority, the lordship, the reign and rule of Jesus to come. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 says, he is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Jesus is supreme. He's why we're gathered here, as I mentioned earlier. Everything we do, we want to be focused on him because He did everything for us, and we want to do everything for him. When we look at the Bible, we think, how did Jesus interpret this scripture, and how does he teach us to interpret this scripture, and how he lived and how he taught? Jesus is a supreme authority. One more powerful passage from Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers of authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Let me repeat that one phrase there. That in him all of God's fullness dwells. There is no lack. Jesus is the Holy One of God. All authority is in him. And all the fullness of God dwells in him. You know, there's many people who say, you know, I believe Jesus was a great teacher or a prophet. Yeah, I want to follow the teachings of Jesus, but they deny that he's a Son of God. They say, yep, no, I don't really believe that part. He was just a human. Well, this is completely illogical again. When I was 24 years old, I was went to YWAM in England, and I went to the Church of England, and following the service, I met a man, and I said, hi, my name is Tim, what's yours? And he looked me right in the eye, and he said, I am your Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And I kind of went, The vicar who was there saw that happening. He ran over and took me by the arm and pulled me away. He said, no, he's completely crazy. Don't pay any attention to him. I think I was okay, but evidently the expression on my face must have been one of shock and horror. If someone came in right now and stood up and said, I am the Holy One, the God, the Messiah, we'd know this man's crazy. He probably just got out of an insane asylum where he lost it. He's having a psychotic moment. And we would try to minister to this person and say, hey, come with us. How are you doing? Get to know this person. We would not be offended, but we know he's not the Messiah. Jesus, as he claimed to be the Son of God, the Messiah, this leaves two options. Either he was a lunatic or he was who he said he was. We either have to accept all the teachings of Jesus, follow them and know that this is truth given to us by God, and that Jesus was the Holy One sent by God to this world to bring salvation to you and to me, or we need to discard the whole thing and throw it out because it was taught by someone who's completely crazy. Which will you choose today? To know Jesus as Lord, the Holy One of God, to put your faith in him, to say, I believe, yes, Lord Jesus, that you were real, that you came for me into this world, and I tremble because you are the Holy God. So I've been meditating on this, of course, throughout this whole week, and let me tell you, it's been a rough week. When I look at Jesus and say, he's the Holy One of God, and I meditate on how holy he is, I start looking at myself, and I feel like I need to cry out and say, Lord, forgive me, and I do. We fear him, we revere him, but we see the example, for instance, of Isaiah in chapter 6. He had a vision of heaven where the seraphim were crying out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And what was Isaiah's reaction? He cried, woe is me. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. When Peter first encountered Jesus, what was happening? He said, put out your nets into the sea. And after they'd been fishing all night, not caught anything, and fish came in through the nets and filled up their boats, that their boats began to sink. And Peter came to shore, and he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. In the book of Revelation, We see where the Apostle John turned. He was having a vision, and he saw Jesus in his glory, and he wrote, "When I saw him, I fell down at his feet as though dead." How do we respond to Jesus in his holiness as the Holy One of God? How do we respond to Jesus knowing he is holy and we are not? Like Isaiah, we recognize that we are sinful, and we know that he, as holy God, is coming to judge the living and the dead. It says in Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And friends, we're in trouble, aren't we? We're in trouble because we cannot stand before a holy God. We cannot stand before Jesus unless something miraculous happens. We need to fall down before him and cry out, "Lord, have mercy." We cannot have just a casual relationship with Jesus. Once in a while, remember that he's there, go to church, sing a few songs. We can't be like, "Hey, yeah, Jesus, hey," and then go on about our lives. He's the holy God. He deserves all of our devotion. He's not there for us just when we get in trouble, when you need help with a test, when you see the flashing lights behind you and you realize you've been going too fast. You say, "Oh, Lord, please help me. Please have this policeman be merciful to me." And I've done that quite a few times. But what we recognize is, it says also in Romans, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even though we recognize that Jesus is in his holiness, it's scary. And we tremble if we really encounter him in his holiness. But the good news, he has come close to us. Even though he is holy, he welcomes us to come close to him. In John 7, Jesus was at a festival and he stood in the open area and he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within them." He also said in John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." So the good news here is that we can turn to the Holy One of God, surrender our lives, knowing he's also waiting to us with his arms open wide. Even in his holiness, he's calling to us to come before him, to fall down on our knees and say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinful man." But acknowledging he's come to give us life, and abundant life. He invites us to come into his holiness, and with his blood he cleanses us, and we then are made holy, so that we can stand before him unashamed. We can get up in the morning, we have our time with him, and come before him and say, "Lord Jesus, cleanse me again, cleanse my mind, help me to see you more and more." And he forgives us over and over, and he receives us into his presence. He gives us new life. Now, this is something I do every day, but for all of us, there's that first time when we realize I've been in darkness, and I've not known Jesus. I've rebelled against him. I've done things that are displeasing to God. And I cannot stand before a holy God unless he changes me. In this moment, we have the opportunity to surrender our life to Jesus, to simply say, "Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you are the Holy One of God. You're the Messiah. You're my Savior. You came to save me, and I ask that you would do that now because I desperately need you. And I know I'm lost. I know I'm lost without you." We confess our sins and say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me. I will ask for a new life in you." Our third point, the Holy One of God makes us holy when we receive him as Lord and Savior. Reading from Ephesians chapter 5, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. I'd like us to ask if we could just close our eyes for a moment. I could just take account of where you are with Jesus. Maybe you are someone who's never surrendered your life to Jesus. I'd like to invite you to take that step today. I just say, if you're ready to accept Jesus, would you please just put up your hand, every eye is closed. Just like to know who you are so we can pray together afterwards. Just raise your hand in surrender that says, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you today. I receive your forgiveness. I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. Amen. I see your hand. Yeah. Amen. That's in this part that you can look up now if you'd like, or you continue in prayer. But that's such an important moment when we take that first step of committing our life to Jesus. Now, some of you here might also say, hey, later on, I'm going to pray. But please come talk to someone if you're making that commitment, or maybe you still have questions along the way. Who is Jesus? Still working this out in your life. Come and talk to me, Pastor Josh. We'll also have our prayer team afterwards, or to a good friend. And know that Jesus is there for you, and he's calling out, sinner, come home. Come home to me. Another point is that when we know Jesus as holy, we are obedient to him. When we recognize the Holy One of God, we obey him. You know, this demon that we read about here, he had no choice. It says the man was shaken. Actually, in the Greek word, he kind of went into convulsions, and it came out of him with a shriek. And the people said, he even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him. Those spirits, they have no choice. When Jesus shows up, they have to obey. When we speak to them in the name of Jesus, they have no choice. They must obey. But we, on the other hand, we do have a choice. It's been given to us. Will we obey him? Will we honor him? Will we live for him every day in reverence and awe? Will we continue to tremble before him as we know his holiness, but also delight in his presence as he lavishes his love upon us? Will we confess, you, Lord Jesus, are the Holy One of God? Will we fall down before him and commit our lives to obey him, to walk with him every day? The scripture then goes on and says at the end of this passage, the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. And it says here, news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Jordan. Patrick and others, that's your cue. Come up for the worship team. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. So I want to just close with this thought. If we truly encounter the Holy One of God, won't we spread that news far and wide? Won't it be something we cannot contain? That we have to go out. We have to tell others, Jesus, the Holy One of God, has shown up among us. He's here among us, and my life has been transformed. And I hope you can know him too. Let's spread the word about Jesus. I'd like to invite you to